like. Let's find out what Amit Mann from Yahoo Sports covers the Raptors thinks about that. What's going on?
How we doing, gentlemen?
We're doing very well, very well. The Toronto Raptors doing pretty well. I mean, that was an impressive performance on Saturday following a game against Golden State where, I mean, that was just a track meet between a team like Golden State who was firing on all cylinders that night, Amit. Mm-hmm. But as far as what we saw from the Raptors on Saturday, now 2-1 so far on the road trip, any idea maybe they could be turning the tide just a little bit? And if that indeed does happen, who knows how that could affect the trade deadline, right?
I think that's absolutely accurate. Is that I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that I have sources or anything like that, but just reading the tea leaves, you know, you got Masai and Bobby are out there on the road trip, and there have been reports circulating that the Raptors, I mean, they're expected to be one of the more interesting teams at the trade deadline, and they're going to be waiting until they see how things go with this road trip, because they really, I don't think they want to make an abundance of trades here. They really like the core that they've built, and they're hoping that they can turn it around, and this is like your last shot to do it on this road trip. If you don't figure it out here, then there's going to maybe be some changes, but I think that the players and coaches and everyone, they're kind of just coming together and they're motivated to see if they can make something happen here.
Amit, Josh Lewenberg wrote an article last week on TSN.ca, and he explained some of the strategies that the Raptors used before going on this seven-game road trip. And it was Nick Nurse showing them tape of the second half of last season where they were one of the league's best defensive teams, you know, focused on effort, the way they transitioned, the way they wondered, like a lot of the positive things that allowed them to have the success that they did. And so far on this road trip, they've won 2 of 3. They have another winnable game tonight against Phoenix, considering the struggles that they've went through tonight. Regardless, and I know there's been a lot of speculation on what the Raptors' success or lack of during this seven-game road trip will depend on where they go, but when you look at a guy like Fred VanVleet and all the buzz that he's picking up around the league, do you think no matter what happens in this seven-game road trip, he's a guy that becomes expendable no matter what?
Yeah, that's a tricky one, too. I mean, I think back to Masai Ujiri on media day. He was asked about, you know, how some players like Malachi Flynn, Delano Banton, how can they crack the lineup and be consistent rotation players? And they're like, well, Fred VanVleet did it. He talks them up all the time. And I get where you're coming from. Like, you see Scotty Barnes, he's actually playing, like, more point guard recently, and he's getting some of those backup minutes, so it's not going to, you know, a Malachi or a Delano, although Delano's hurt. But it's going to Scotty now. And so you start thinking about, like, the options the Raptors have with their roster building, and they have an abundance of them. And so who could be the odd one out? You could say it's Fred. And this is going to come down to, I mean, what does Fred want? Is Fred okay with being, you know, an off-ball point guard sometimes with a catch-and-shoot guy? He still has, like, a ton of ball-handling duties. Like, look what he did in the fourth quarter. He was the person that kind of got them together and was like the reason why they were able to, you know, turn that tide when the Blazers were making their run. So you could say for sure that maybe Fred could be the odd one out, but you could also, you know, say that, you know, Masai and Bobby and Nick, they like Fred too much. They feel like he's a great leadership presence. And if he isn't there, leadership does kind of take a bit of a downward spiral a little bit, because I mean, just Fred is next up, Kyle Lowry, and is Pascal ready for that responsibility? I mean, I don't know, but it's a tricky one. Like, I hate to be so vague, but there are so many options the Raptors have, and there really isn't a clear-cut answer.
Pretty safe to say, and Amit Mann is our guest from Yahoo Sports, that Precious Achiuwa, very unlikely to be traded. 23 years old,
no, global asset.
And, I mean, this is a guy who's been on fire of late, averaging 18 and 10, 4 double-doubles in his last 5 games. Is this just a matter of Achiuwa getting healthy and playing up to the capabilities we saw in the second half last year?
Yeah, pretty much. I think a lot of us were very excited about Precious coming into this season, and he got off to a bit of a slow start. Long injury, but then he comes in, and the Raptors like the idea of, you know, having a small ball five, of having someone who's a bit more mobile, and that's why they enjoyed having Scotty Barnes there. But Precious and Scotty, they're just different players, and it's not in a bad way either on either side. They just have different skill sets, and the Raptors, to me, they've really been lacking someone who is just like a stay-at-home defenseman, kind of, right? Someone who's just going to, you know, do the cutting, do the screening, hit shots at good times, take good shots, not take too many shots, let the offense flow. And for a little while, that was Scotty's job. But now Precious is kind of doing the intangibles. And every lineup, whether it's like, and damn near any sport, right? Everyone needs an intangibles person in their starting rotation or in your, you know, best five. And Precious is filling that role, and he's very good at it, man. His explosion around the basket is incredible. He's got some unreal athleticism that I don't think any Raptor can kind of compare to. So he's been terrific, and he could absolutely be a double-double machine. That's why I picked him up in my fantasy team.
Nice. Good call. Good call. He's been a beast for you in the last couple of weeks, no doubt, Ahmed. And I will say, yeah. I mean, some unfortunate news with the Raps. On Friday night, OG Anunoby leaves with a wrist injury, did not play on Saturday. I believe he's already been ruled out for tonight as well. What can you tell us about Anunoby's status going forward?
A tricky one as well. I mean, a wrist sprain that did not look good. When that happened, I think everyone, you could hear, probably hear the collective ooh when he fell down. That was a hard fall. A wrist sprain around trade deadline time doesn't do a great for how he's going to be perceived, I guess, if the Raptors were interested in making a move, or if OG is actually, in fact, you know, according to some of the reports, he is quote-unquote unhappy. We don't know if that's true or not, but that doesn't help his value there. On the team side, I mean, you saw that Golden State Warriors game. He would have been very, very helpful there. He's a great screen navigator, great off-ball defender. And they were missing that. So going forward here, they're going to need, like, they were already pretty thin with their rotation. I feel like we've been talking about that for the past 3 years. That's, they don't have a very big rotation of players that they are willing to put out there for 20, 25 minutes. And now they lost one who, as you know, he plays 40 minutes a game sometimes. So they're in a bit of a tough spot. And for OG, just awful timing, because he was having a decent year. That's been a struggle for him for a few years now, is being able to stay healthy. So hopefully when he does come back, he's able to pick up where he left off.
What was your take on LeBron James and Patrick Beverley's antics at the end of regulation in that game for the Lakers against the Celtics? I mean, a lot of, I don't even know what word I would use to describe what was going on there, but clearly a foul on LeBron, no doubt. But the way LeBron and Patrick Beverley behaved afterwards, what was your reaction to that?
Hey, man, the Lake Show doesn't mean just on the court. I mean, there's theater, all drama, right?
No kidding.
They're 24/7. They're one of the teams that, I mean, doesn't matter if they're doing good or bad, they're going to be a story. For a little while, I was like, why are people watching this team? Why are we seeing this team, like, on television all the time? But, I mean, they've found their stride, and LeBron is defying anything that we know about what a human body should be able to do at his age. However, theater has been a part of his story, and that was Emmy, is it Emmys or Oscars, whatever it is. He should get an award for that one, that's for sure. And Patrick Beverley, I mean, that's just hilarious. The man took a camera and brought it over to the referee and showed him that this was a foul. Pat Bev special. LeBron special, Russ is special. And the Lakers, I mean, they are 24/7 story, I guess.
Wow, they sure are. And the story yesterday was, in their game tonight, it was automatically declared that both LeBron James and Anthony Davis won't play. I mean, why won't they play? They didn't. They played Saturday night. I don't understand.
They need wins. They need wins too to make the playoffs.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they can't play tonight. Like, what's the whole deal of that? Like, LeBron had his feelings hurt. Is he out because he's got, you know, a bruised ego because he showed up and acted like a pure imbecile with the way he acted? I mean, I don't get it.
That was rough, though. I mean, I will say, like, that was a pretty blatant foul. And
oh, 100%. The refs blew it. The refs blew it, 100%.
And from what he was saying, there have been a few calls over the past few weeks that haven't gone the Lakers' way that have costed them games. And you can debate some of the other ones, but this one the other day was pretty blatant that it should have been called. And then you have the referee, NBA referee Twitter account coming out and apologizing. I mean, I don't know why they're taking the game off. I guess it is a back-to-back, and they decided that they will essentially see how things go against the Nets, and they're going to have everyone ready to go for the Knicks game on Tuesday, is my guess. So, I mean, a back-to-back during a road trip, and we're seeing this. A lot of players are having rest days in season, and this might be at the beginning of a back-to-back instead of, you know, the latter.
Yeah, and I understand, you know, if Giannis takes a night off or Jokic or some player on some team that actually is in the playoffs and is pretty much guaranteed a playoff spot, that makes sense. But for LeBron and Anthony Davis right now, they're 4 games under 500. They're chasing even to make it a play-in, and I don't think they're sellers. They're not tanking. They don't even have their own draft pick. So I don't know. I find that kind of confusing. Couldn't those guys
The West is crazy,
minutes?
Though, right? Like, you look at it, I mean, the Lakers are – they're 4 games back of the Clippers, who are fourth, and they're 11th or 13th. Like, it's kind of just the nature of the West that, I mean, yes, you are in 13th, but you're also not too far away from being in, like, the fifth spot or even outside of the play-in. So, I mean, it's kind of the nature of the Western Conference. It's pretty crazy. And the East is jumbled in its own way, but the West is ridiculous.
Yeah, well, should be something special. The Raptors take on the Phoenix Suns, another Western Conference team tonight, a game you can watch on TSN, listen to on TSN 1050. Ahmed, as always, we appreciate you doing this for us. Enjoy the game tonight. Let's do this again soon.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
Always a pleasure. It's Ahmed Mann from Yahoo Sports Canada, who covers the Raptors by podcast. All types of coverage from our man Ahmed, who was very kind enough to join us this morning.